You pray for me, I know you do. I've seen you pleading for me. I know you know the way I go. You take each step before me. You care for me, I know you do. You've never failed me, no, never. You love me, you said you do. Lord, help me to believe it. But sometimes I don't understand, and sometimes I cannot feel anything, anywhere. How can I know your love for me is real? Lord, how I love for you, a touch of your tenderness. It's so hard for me to just believe you could love a child of weakness like me.
Today. Welcome to the broadcast tonight. Here we are on the 11th day, Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to those of you who have served in the military. I'm sure that many of the veterans would certainly not agree with the condition of the military today, but yeah, it's sad to see what's going on. But like, for instance, in the what's going on at this Colorado Springs Air Force Academy. They're taught CRT, the white supremacists in the Republican Party are the number one threat to the security of the nation, really, above Russia and China, really? I mean, that's what they're being taught? And they're instructed to use gender-neutral terms like parents, caregiver, guardians instead of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and partner instead of boyfriend or girlfriend or wife. I mean, this is just weird. That's what's happening under this weird administration that we're living here in today. But I'm living in the kingdom of God. But yeah. Also here in this world, passing through as a stranger, sojourner, and pilgrim. So we're here tonight with you, and I'm glad to have you that it may be tuning in tonight with me and being here together at this time of the broadcast that we share the things of the Word of God. And we open up in news like usual, and I just gave you some. But I'm sure some of you might have heard of the Holy Spirit Ouija board, which those names don't even go together, but they have a company that put out Holy Spirit Ouija board to communicate directly with Jesus, supposedly. Not, I don't believe, but a company called Holy Spirit Games has released a new Ouija board-like game called the Holy Spirit Board, which claims it will let you communicate directly with Jesus. Oh, yeah? One person who was talking about playing with it, the board, said, I could feel Jesus immediately when I picked up the game piece. Con, con, right? Another con of a devil. Hey, we can all hear from Jesus without a Ouija board or a Holy Spirit Ouija board, whatever you want to call this thing. But we can hear, we don't need that board. We just need the name of Jesus and to call upon him in faith. And we can hear from the Lord. And he will speak to us. I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't need this board. Don't waste your money. Plus, you're opening yourself up to demons when you do play with something like that. Canadian man alleges hospital in Canada is pressuring him to end his life by assisted suicide and is suing the hospital. That's right, he's suing the hospital in Ontario, where he's at, in Ontario, Canada, that is treating him. And he is suffering from cerebellar I can't pronounce it really, but a disease that attacks his brain and muscles and has been bedridden at the hospital for 6 years now. And he was told that he had been there too long and should get assisted suicide by the nurses, various nurses talking to him about getting assisted suicide. I guess they're tired of him, huh? Wow. So you just want a person to just die. You get tired of somebody, you just want to see them kill themselves with assisted suicide. I don't think that's the way things should operate. Yeah, so, well, we pray the man would be healed and come to the Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Joyce Meyer brags about getting tattooed. She's 79 years old. She's bragging about getting tattooed at 79 to supposedly honor God. She got one on her shoulder and one on her ankle. Well, what does the Bible say about doing that? The Bible says, does she not read the Bible? She's teaching everybody. She ought to be reading the Bible. But the Bible says, don't do that. Don't put any markings on your Bible, on your body. I don't mean your Bible. It says in Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Putting any marks on our bodies, that's what basically we just read here. And of course, it's also a form of self-abuse, because you know that it's been painful. If you've had a tattoo, you would know that. that it's it can be very, very painful to do that. Again, it says in Leviticus 21:5, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Well, again, tattoos is a cutting in their flesh. They have to cut that in there, and it's not a pleasant thing. But okay, it's okay. Joyce Meyer could set the example for all these, the women that she ministered to and the men, and they should all go get a tattoo right? No, I don't believe so. Well, we have a Bethel pastor, Chris Valentin, number two pastor, apostle there in Bethel, that says God made Adam both male and female and broke Adam in half to create Eve. Okay, well, if that's what you think, but didn't say that he broke him in half. And it didn't say he was female and man. It said that he made a female out of Adam's rib. Federal judge declared Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness plan is unlawful. That's right. A Texas federal judge declares it null and void and unlawful. So, a Minnesota gender clinic is touting how they're treating three-year-olds. Really? Three-year-olds with gender changes? I think this is parents who must want to change their children. Sick parents with demons, in my opinion, that would want to do such a thing, because really that's abuse to do that to their body like that at such a young age, at any age it is, especially when they're 3 years old. Oh, and Soros-backed constitutional amendment enshrines abortion up to birth in Michigan. Well, yeah, that's a tragic thing too, isn't it? Want to have abortion up until the very birth of the child? And Biden administration providing abortion access to illegal migrants, immigrants coming across illegally into America, making sure they can all get abortion if they want one. Might as well take the blood of those children too, huh? Well, Sarah Huckabee won the governorship of Arkansas, and she becomes the first woman elected governor of Arkansas. And she is a Christian woman and has stood up against a lot of the garbage that's going on in this wicked world right now in this country. And here we see over on the other side of the ocean, one of Greece's greatest hockey players in history has been sentenced to prison. That's right. Vasilis Tsiartis, Tsiartis was sentenced and fined both for saying God created Adam and Eve. That's right. He put in out that God created Adam and Eve. He didn't say Adam and Steve or Eve and Madeline, no. And he criticized the LGBTQ law, which is very strict, so strict that it's getting him put in jail. That's sad that they take the greatest hockey player in Greek's history, even supposedly history of the world, I guess. I don't know, but at least in Greece's history. And they're going to put him in jail because he believes in Adam and Eve instead of Adam and Steve or Eve and Madeline or whatever. So, isn't it really strange, the world that we live in now, and the things that are going on today, and the demonic level that people are going down to and promoting on the people of this world. Well, thank God we rebuke it, and thank God that there's been more Republicans elected that will hopefully stand up to this stuff. They're not rhinos, hopefully, and they will stand up to this wickedness and put a stop to some of it and keep praying, because they're trying to steal elections from certain ones and stoke up the vote for the Democrats and not allow the, like Kerry Dairy Lake in Arizona, and Walker, I guess, going to have a runoff there, but perhaps it looks like. And so anyway, just keep praying that these people are going to prevail, and these lies and deception and manipulation of the votes will not take place, and they will not prevail in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to pray that too, and we're going to keep believing God for the best here. And we know that God is not going to abandon his people, right? We know that. And we know that the Lord is for his people, and he's not going to let the darkness just totally just take us all out. That's just not going to happen in Jesus' name. We know that's not going to happen because the Lord loves his people, and he has some surprises for the evil ones. Those who are given over to Satan. You think you could be outdone by a bunch of Satanists and a bunch of globalists that hate God and want to just kill all these babies and have the blood on their own hands like that? God's going to have some last say to these things. And it isn't all going to be at the judgment seat either. It's not going to have to wait that long. Okay, we're going to see what Jesus says. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. These unbelieving people that have no intention of ever coming to Christ and never getting born again, they sold their soul to the devil and to the global situation of serving the one world government and all of that and trying to bring in the beast system of darkness. They're just not going to get away with all that they think they're going to get away with. That's for sure. And God is going to do some awesome things. And just be watching, okay? Because I believe there'll even a couple of things will show up even before the end of the year. I believe we'll see some things. But especially next year, I believe. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Welcome to the program. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to get into the Word, okay? Sound good? All right, praise God. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for those people that stand for righteousness, Lord, for those who have actually gained ground and been voted into office, Lord. We pray they'll be able to continue to fulfill the call to do righteousness in this nation and stand up against the wickedness. Pray that they'll have the boldness to do that, Father. We pray for these elections that have been messed with, Lord, like in Nevada and Arizona, Lord, and the things that they're doing. Father, we pray that that will all come to nothing and that they will get their rightful votes. Kerry Lake and the governor, man running for governor in Nevada, Lord, that he will get the rightful votes. And these things will not be stolen in the name of Jesus, Lord, and from others, too, as well. We pray that Walker will be the one who's elected in Georgia, Lord, and not the Warnock, Lord. We pray for righteousness. He's a born-again Christian at Walker. So I pray, Lord, that he will be put into the office in Jesus' name. And he stands for good things, godly things. And we pray for that, too. We bind you, devil, from all your work of darkness and deception that you've been doing and sneaking in here, doing all this sneaky stuff that you've been doing. We rebuke you, and we pray it'll be shouted from the rooftops and exposed and not be allowed to prevail, and it'll turn around on them and bite them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all will see the evil that these men and women do in Jesus' name, and it will not be able to be covered. And we thank you for that. We thank for such people that are standing up and being bold, like the My Pillow Man, and how he's been very bold and standing up and telling the truth about these things and investigating them and getting the facts on them and releasing them to people, Lord, and showing them. And we pray that you will bless him and protect him in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray for the program and the broadcast tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, bless this broadcast. Bless the message going out tonight, Father. We thank you for it. And thank you that people will be ministered to. People will be blessed. People will be encouraged. People will be delivered, Father. We thank you that people will be healed and grow in grace and truth here tonight, Father. We praise you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for spiritual breakthroughs in people's lives. We thank you for turnarounds and changes that will take place that will bring them into your presence closer and closer, Father. in the name of Jesus, and we bind the enemy. Give him no place here. We cover this broadcast, this time that we have together, with the blood of Jesus right now. And Lord, we pray for every listener to the program, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would make provision for them, that you would show them the way in which you would have them to walk in this hour, Lord, that we are living in, and that you would grant them to be bold to follow you, Lord, and be unashamed, Lord, of your gospel, of your truth, Lord. And they would draw nearer to you. You would draw them in as they desire more of you, that you would draw them in and you would change them and you would make them into your image and your likeness, Lord. We thank you for working in their lives and solving the difficult circumstances and situations and problems that people are having. I know that I've had several contact me this week about marriage problems, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for their marriages to prevail and to stand when the devil tried to take them out and destroy marriages today of Christian homes, Father. Lord, we pray that that the devil will not prevail. We stand against the devil in these marriages. And, Lord, we thank you that you bless these homes, Father, and bring peace, Lord, in the home. And, Lord, pray that people will learn to get along with each other, even though they may not always agree on things, that, Lord, they can learn to get along and they can learn to love each other and make the threefold cord. Allow the third one, which is Jesus, at the center of their marriage, Father. We pray for that in Jesus' name, and we break the grip of the devil over marriages, Father, today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for turning things around for people who desire a mate and have not received their mate yet, but they still desire a mate in life and they're looking to get married, Father. We pray that you provide godly mate for them, Father. We pray that you'll hear their cry. I know of several that are looking, Father, and still have not found a mate, and they're getting older and older, Father. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for providing the help meet for them, Lord, a mate for them, Lord, that they will have a godly mate, Lord, someone that is righteous and that is like-minded and that they can be joined together and be blessed in that union, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, for your glory, that you will be glorified. And bless every listener tonight. Minister to them. Provide for all their needs, Father. We thank you even in this time of leanness, as going to get maybe a little more leaner before this is over with, too. And if it ever is over with, till Jesus comes. But Lord, we thank you for providing for all of us, and that we'll not go without food unless we choose to fast for some reason, which, you know, I choose to fast many times. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for providing, Lord, for every one of us in Jesus' name, more than enough, Father. You are the God of more than enough. You're the God of abundance, Father. We thank you for that abundant supply. And Lord, we believe, Lord, and people need to believe you too, just like, you know, we believe, they need to believe, and others believe, they need to believe too, for as your faith is, be it unto you, you said. I remember that scripture, Lord, and so in the gospel, and you told people that. I thank you for that, Lord. We believe, Lord, and we rebuke unbelief, and we want no part of it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name now, we thank you for this time together. We praise you for it. Everybody say amen. Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get into the word now. Hope you're ready. We're talking about the spirit of compromise and truth. And the spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is truth. But we know that the spirit of compromise is a demonic entity, and we rebuke that entity tonight. But, you know, almost every week we hear of ministries and individual Christians who have compromised in their walk with Jesus, like Joyce Meyer getting two tattoos on her body at 79 years old. Really? I mean, but that's lesser than some of the compromises that we see people making. Like, you know, Miles McPherson being charged with murder out there, the pastor of a mega church out there in California. What went on with that and the 11-year-old boy? And I don't know the whole story, so I can't say if he's guilty or not guilty, but my, what is going on? compromising with their beliefs, with their behavior. I mean, is it that easy to just step to a lower level of living? Because when we compromise, we're not stepping higher, we're stepping lower. Why would we want to go lower? Why would we want to go to a low place when we are walking in a high place? He said, come up higher. He didn't say go lower. Jesus said, come up higher. It seems to be easy for many, though, to go lower. Why is that? Well, could it be the work of demons in a believer's life? Well, I believe that it could be, maybe not the only factor involved, but mostly it is. They have a will and a choice, too, but mostly it's a factor of demons working. How is that, Pastor Kyle? Well, people get born again, right? But unless they soon go through the process of deliverance, which is usually not the case, because most churches don't take all their new believers in to get deliverance right away, do they? No, unless they go through the process of deliverance and get taught deliverance, well, they still have the spirits that they picked up in life since the womb of their mama. That's right, and the ones they picked up, since the womb, too. I mean, the curses, the generation of spirits, and the accompanying demon don't leave us just because a person gets born again. They just move into the soul area from the spirit. The mind, will, and emotions, and maybe some of them leave out of your spirit and don't come back, but for the most part, they move into the soul and the body. So the demons will immediately continue their work, even though as a baby Christian sometimes the spirits are not as visible in their operation until after the short period of babyhood. Because one is caught up in the newness of Christ and in their new life in Christ, and they're carried, in a special way, gently during that time by the Lord. But still, they have to face the demons in themselves eventually because, they didn't leave. And those spirits will begin to be seen again in their activities in their life. For example, say one was heavily involved in the New Age movement or New Age belief systems, or the occult, or Hinduism, as they grow as a Christian, they may hear things and think, they're Jesus, but they're from the old New Age ways or the old occult spirits that have remained within them. They may even start operating in what they think is the gift of the Spirit, but it's like prophecy, for instance, or give a word based out of an occult or a New Age spirit. And, of course, people are fooled and impressed and think, this is Jesus, and Jesus is speaking through this person. Jesus is using this person, but it is demons. And demons know how to prophesy, too, And they get prophecies in the New Age movement and through Hindus and all of that. I remember when we were in Guyana, they would work up every Sunday and get a demon to talking through them out as they beat their drums and walking down the street and conjuring up the spirit, so the spirit would talk to them and prophesy and speak things. Yeah. So, it's not something unusual that I've seen Christians operating under a spirit that they thought was the Holy Spirit, but it was a demonic spirit, and it deceives. Okay, those words deceive. They don't bring true peace. That's one way you can tell. They might build up the flesh, but they don't bring the sure lasting peace of the Lord like a word from the Lord would. But nevertheless, they may impress people to think that God is doing it when it's not God. So that's an example of people who have been involved in that and how that they can, or they have generational curses of that in them from people in their family line who's been involved in the occult and things and New Age, some types of witchcraft. And of course, it's not a New Age. It's the same old stuff, right? Oh, yeah. Well, good. Welcome. Hope you're okay in the storm out there. I understand it hit mainly northern Florida, right? So hopefully you're fine there. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so this same process may lead one to fall back into sexual sin or the depression, for instance, that they had before Christ, or the lust or the greed or the fear or the rejection. they had before Christ, or the lust? You know, are there lustful or greedy, hurt Christians today who compromise? Well, does a duck swim? Of course there are, right? So, yeah, we can seek a demonic, route to all the compromise we see around us in the church today, in Christian today. Could deliverance stop much of what is happening there? What do you think? Well, I believe it could. Of course. Well, of course I believe that could be the case. And, right is right, you know. Even if everybody else is against it, right is right, right? Yeah, and wrong is wrong, even if everybody else is for it. And so often we get caught up in the spirit of this world, which is the spirit of compromise, because, of course, the world is going to compromise, because Satan is a compromised being. And he has chosen to compromise and go into the darkness when he could have stayed in the light. But he chose to reject the light because he wanted to be God himself, and he couldn't be. And so, yeah, today it seems everyone compromises from the top on down. And yeah, even a so-called president compromises, and it spreads because he's allowed all kinds of demons to be loosed on the nation because of the wickedness that is in him. See, because, you know, he's supposedly a leader, and, of course, a lot of things are released out of that district of criminals. A lot of things are released, spirits are. And they're sent out around the country, and people start getting affected by them if you don't know about that and you don't protect yourself. And so, yeah, this is certainly the most subtly and openly wicked administration. We see it's also the Obama administration continued, and it was a very wicked man also. And so, yeah, more and more compromise and smut about him and his son is continually coming out to public knowledge. But are people even listening? Because they have he's not mine either, of course, brother. But, his true colors are showing, thank you, Jesus. And more let it show and let it be discovered and let them not be able to hide in Jesus' name. But Christian people compromise. Churches compromise. They compromise for money, for power, for sex, for peer pressure, to not look different from the world. Well, why wouldn't you want to look different from the world? You're not the world. You're in the world, but not of the world. So what's the big deal that you want to be accepted by the world? It's the fear of man. It's the fear of what people are going to think of you. It's, you know, oh, I want to be accepted so bad. Why? Do you want devils to accept you? People controlled by devils? You want them to accept you? Is that what really matters to you? What about Jesus? We've already been made accepted in the beloved, so what does it matter if we're accepted by them? Huh? James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So notice we are promised a blessing if we do not compromise. If we do not give in to the temptations which come all the time. We get tempted every day. But we don't give in to it, okay? But you know it isn't coming from God. Verse 13, it says that let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay? So we're just drawn away by demons in our own lust. We're enticed. We're tricked because the demons use our lust against us. And it's not just sexual lust, any kind of lust. It could be lust for power, lust for control, lust for position, lust for attention. But, you know, God will never tempt or approve of what is wrong. And a lot of people are thinking, yeah, God's going to approve of what's wrong. I mean, hey, he can't do that. It's against his nature and character. It's against who he is. Someone said, if you'll continue to do what's right, what's wrong and who's wrong is eventually going to leave your life. And I believe there's some truth to that for sure. And a lot of times, you know, if you got somebody just lost person pestered, you just start witnessing to them every time you see them. They either leave or they get born again. Right? Yeah. And you know, sometimes, there may be some who you need to have leave and exit your life because they're just a snare to you. There's some people just hanging on you, which is the demons in them that are hanging on to you, and you just allow that to continue to happen, and that's really not in your best welfare because those demons will drag you down if they can because that's what they're there for. They're there to be used by the enemy to do that and through certain individuals that we may allow to our life, yet we don't feel necessarily the best about having them in our life, but still we just somehow, allow it to continue. And yet if we continue to do what's wrong, a bigger and stronger stronghold of wrong will be built into our lives. So if we're doing things that are against God and against the Word of God, and we're compromising in areas to do those things and be involved in those things, then, what happens? Demons of the wrong that is taking place will come and abide within us, and we will have to get deliverance for those things. See, God has good plans for us, but there is one who will attempt to sabotage the good plans of God, right? Always the saboteur is trying to do his evil, evil work. But Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's right. He has a good end for you. He has a good plan for you, not evil plan. Satan has evil plan. Compromise, it brings you into an evil plan. It allows an evil plan to begin to take place in your life, and we don't want to have any part of the evil plan. That's right, brothers and sisters. The enemy knows God's plans for you are good. He may not know what they all are because he doesn't know everything. But his intentions for you are not good. And he will, the devil's intentions are never good for you. And he will, for certain, attempt to block God's good plans for your life. You know that he will do that. He will attempt to do that. He will attempt to block God's good plan from happening in your life. See, all the important battles we face will be waged within ourselves. You have to understand that. The mind is the battleground. The mind, and we battle from our spirit into the mind. And, of course, we battle in the soul, too. But we should empower that battle from our spirit, see. That's how it's empowered, because the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. That's where the strength is. Our strength is the Holy Spirit within us. Our strength is the Word of God within us. And so all these important battles we face are going to be waged from within. And this is where the decision to compromise or not compromise will be determined. And so the battle is often, well, you're going to do this or you're not going to do this. You're going to say this. You're going to get involved with these people or not. I mean, it's always some type of little thing that would be very easy to step over into a compromising situation or activity or action or verbs, words coming out of your mouth. I mean, listen, we're not going to achieve victory over compromise until we believe and act like Jesus, and what is right is superior to any circumstance we find ourselves faced with, and any temptation that we find ourselves tempted with too. Okay, so we got to understand that. Hasn't there been things that in your life that you've done or been involved in that you wish you could go back and correct and wish it had never been a part of or never done yourself or said yourself, a word that you've spoken that you wish you'd never spoken? There's a strife with your spouse that you wish had never taken place. There's all kinds of things we could go back and say, well, yeah, I could see how I compromised. I could see how I gave place to temptation. I could see now. I mean, would it be easier to do what you should do and what is right the first time, rather than spend the rest of your life wishing that you had it? Something to think about, saints. Something to think about, okay? So in addition to conquering the saboteur, we must also win a victory over self, right? Because if you see yourself as a compromiser or weak or a failure or not able to walk the walk, you're going to live life that way, because as you see yourself, that's the way you're going to be. In other words, you cannot consistently perform in a manner that is inconsistent with the way you see yourself. That's right. So how can you? Because you can't, because you're sabotaged by the way you're seeing yourself. And it may be influenced by a demon. The way you see yourself may be influenced, may have been influenced by a demon. And the demon continually keeps you under his control, under his, under his feet, when he should be under your feet. So one of the worst lies is the lie that we tell ourselves. Right? How many times have you believed a lie? How many times are you telling yourself a lie? You don't even know it's a lie. Yeah, because the lie has become your truth. When it really is a lie, because it came from the liar himself, the father of all lie, the devil, see? And we have to discern what is lie and what isn't a lie about ourselves, because oftentimes the lies people tell themselves are the hardest lies to get rid of in their lives, because they're the most easiest for them to believe, because they know what a mess they've been and are still. We all are still messed in some way. We all still need changing. We all still need renovated by the Holy Spirit, right? God working on us if we let him do it. You know, and we just need to be patient in that and realize that it's grace, not works, that does it. It's grace and the Holy Spirit that's doing the changing in us. But we have to desire, we have to want it. I mean, we can't just reject the working of the Holy Spirit. And some people do, because they won't be in control so badly. But look, Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So don't be fooled. What you may seem to gain by compromise will ultimately be a loss to you, right? It will ultimately be a loss. Look at verse 23 here. Also, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and I'm old, and I've yet not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God ain't going to forsake you. He's going to be with you to the end. But faith and compromise will sail into your harbor, and you're going to have to only allow faith to drop the anchor, right? Amen. Well, we're going to have to walk by faith all the days of our life. See, a lot of people aren't getting what they're supposed to be getting because they won't walk by faith. They just, you know, they just expect this stuff to happen, but they don't want to stand in faith long enough to see it happen. They got all this, double-mindedness going on. So we have to believe God, folks. See, God gave us faith so that we would believe him. What he tells us is true, and we believe it just as much as we believe we're going to breathe our next breath, right? I'm going to breathe my next breath. How about you? Take a deep breath. Yeah, I believe that next breath is coming. I believe with a long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Okay? So what is right will always be what's right, and what is wrong will always be what's wrong. What is evil will be evil, and what is not evil will always be not evil. See? What is righteous will be righteous, and what is evil will be evil. There's no justification for wickedness. You justify your wickedness? How do you do that? I think there's a demon at work in you. You're allowing a demon to work justification of what you want to do. Your flesh wants to do it, so you justify it. How do you justify wickedness? How do you justify evil? Well, I just can't help it. I'm like Paul. I do what I don't want to do. Well, it's the sin dwelling in you, and in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, that'd be the demons dwelling in you, right? The desire is for you. It lies at the door. Every door of your life has a demon waiting at it. If it could get into that area, right, it'll get into that area. They're waiting. They're laying in wait. Sin lies at the door. Demons lie at the door. They're saying the same thing, see? Hallelujah. So what is right will always be right. What's wrong will always be wrong. You got to know that. Yeah, you got to say, yes, God, no devil. That's got to be your lifelong thing. I mean, yes, God, no devil. Yes, righteousness, no evil, right? So one of the major results of compromises is we become hard. If you compromise over and over, you become hard. You know, hardness of believing, hardness of walking on in the faith of God. You know, our nation is becoming hard because of the sin, because of the spirit of compromise in the land, because of the leading of darkness in this land. It's becoming hard, and really, there are some who are becoming sob because they're seeking God. They're saying, I'm not going to want to put up with this. I'm going to believe my God's going to do something about all this stuff. I'm going to get into warfare. I'm going to get tender before God. I'm going to be where I can move in the Spirit and pray as the Spirit leads and do warfare as the Spirit leads. Thank God for people like that. Thank God for people who do warfare. Thank God for people who this has sparked in them a desire for really to see Jesus move mightily in the earth and in America. Because we're talking about America right now, right? Because that's what we're talking about, the people of this land. But it could be true in other lands too, right? But our nation has become hard because of the spirit of compromise. It's evident on the news how they've compromised. They sold their soul for money. For really, some of them sold it to the devil, right? That way. Because money, filthy lucre, right? Now, money itself is not evil, but see, it's the love of money. That's a demon, the love of money, mammon. They got mammon taking over in their lives, see? So it's evident in our schools. It's evident in our government. I mean, one of the worst things that has happened in the election is that they've been so programmed in the colleges and the government schools that these people all vote for crazy stuff that, you know, that the Democrats want to put in people into office that want to continue killing babies and killing, want assisted suicide and all this stuff and legalize marijuana and all these different drugs and go away with the cops. We need the police. I don't want to. You'd have chaos if you didn't have police. I mean, you just have people just kill whoever they want to kill, rob whoever they want to rob, rape whoever they want to rape, and there'd just be nonstop chaos in the land. And they want it to be that way because the devil is chaos. He's full of chaos. And so, yeah, it's becoming quite disgusting. But thank God he's going to have the last word of these things, and the devil isn't going to prevail. But it's evident by the laws that have been being made, and it's evident then by people's behavior. So what are we as a Christian people to do? You're different. You're supposed to be a Christian, right? You're born again. But I tell you in two words, what's right? That's right. What's word? That's what we're to do. We're to do the word. We're to do what's right. And we can only do it by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which we'll see in a minute. We can't do it on our own power. But we're to do what's God's, what is God, what is right. Even if they all laugh, even if they all persecute us, you know, we're to do what's God's. What's the word? What's right? What, you know, one compromise can hang over a Christian all their lives. You know, I don't know how many remember Bob Tilton so many years ago. He'd never recovered. Jimmy Swaggart never recovered, even though he has a ministry today. It's not ever been what it once was before he fell into all that sexual sin. Brian Houston will never recover, never fully recover. He may minister still, but he's never really going to fully recover. And many others I could name over the years, we've watched them. Why? Well, compromise. Avoid at all costs. I've watched this spirit call so many so much. You have to live with you, okay? You have to live with you. You have to live with you the rest of your life. So what kind of you do you want to live with? Right? Because the decisions you make, you'll have to live with. I say, let's seek God so we don't make the wrong decision. And you know what? If you do make a wrong decision, God has grace, and you know He can redeem the situation. You confess it to the Lord and say, "Hey, man, I, Lord, God Almighty, I made a bad mistake, Lord. I made a bad decision, Lord. I just confess this to you, Lord, and He will cleanse you from it and all unrighteousness, of course, and He'll move you into, hey, I've got another plan here." For your son, daughter, I will redeem the situation for you, you know. But you still did it. You still have to live with that. But you know what? It's forgiven. It's gone. And you don't have to be tormented by it anymore. You can't have those spirits living there and tormenting you anymore unless you let that guilt come in or that spirit that just torments you all the time over what you did in the past. Because Paul said, forgetting those things that lie behind it. Pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So don't let those things just get to you. Amen. It's the past, and the past is the past. It's the blood of Jesus washed it away. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. Your sins are remembered no more. But I know we still remember them if we want to, but we're not proud of those things. And we're not, we should be anyway. You shouldn't be proud of your sin. Or you should be proud of compromising and evil in your life. But the spirits of compromise are causing many to forsake a strong walk. You know, you ought to have a strong walk with God, not a weak walk. You know, I know when you're weak, you're strong. But, you know, I'm talking about strong walk with the Lord, not some, you know, weak walk where you're just barely getting barely a Christian most of the time, and yet you've been one for 30 years. Yeah, yet you're barely a Christian. I mean, you're so compromised. Not a walk like that. God's looking for those who will come all the way with him, not just a little partial way Christian. Just go a little way and no more. Hey, he wants us to, I know the spirit of compromise wants you to forsake the strong walk and get away from that. They don't want you to have it, or they don't want you to have what could have become a strong walk with Jesus either. And if we let ourselves get hard like many others are getting, we're going to miss some of the greatest opportunities in this life. So has your heart become hard today? Well, you know, things happen in life, okay? People get attacked. People have tragedies. People have, problems in their homes. They have divorces. I mean, they have attacks on their marriages. They have difficulties. They have sickness attacks and different things. And, yeah, it's easy to start blaming God, but you got to realize God didn't have anything to do with that. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God good, devil bad. That's my theology, and it's biblical, too, okay? And so you recognize that the devil brings all these bad things into your life. God's not bringing bad things. The Holy Spirit's not a bad thing, okay? He's not a thing, but he's not a bad person. He's not a bad being. And he lives within us. And he says, I've given you every good and perfect gift come down from above. He doesn't say every bad and horrible thing come down from above. No, the devil is doing those things. We got to remember that. We don't want to miss out on some of the greatest opportunities that God will bring in this life. So you got to be on guard against you getting hard inside. And it's time to allow yourself to put Jesus and what is right above everything, okay? Above peer pressure, above the status quo, above the popular opinion of the culture, above what your friends think and say and do, and above selfishness, above any demons that we've allowed to be exalted in our lives. And we just need to let Jesus be exalted, okay? So let's determine in our spirit and our mind to do what's right, even if it costs us. And it will cost you, right? As the world grows darker, and it is, and it's going to go darker. Even if we were to win, you know, every election, the world is still going to go darker and darker till the full day when Jesus comes. And we can shine brighter and brighter in the midst of the darkness, and we will, because they get darker, our light's going to be brighter because they're so dark, right? And so, yeah, the world goes darker, it's going to cost us to make a stand. Don't put water in your own boat, okay, because the storms are going to put enough of that in there, right? We all face storms in this life, okay? We don't need to get a mouth that's sabotaging our own life. We don't need to compromise and sabotage our own life. We don't need to be putting water in our own boat, so to speak, and helping it to sink. The difficulties come, and we gotta speak the right thing during these difficulties. We can't just speak and give in to defeat and despair and hopelessness like so many Christians do at times. Don't sabotage yourself, okay? Don't self-sabotage with the help of demons, of course, but hey, don't dream up thousands of reasons why you can't do what's right and why you have to, you know, compromise. Oh, I just have to, you know, everybody else is doing it in the church. Yeah, they're all, No, do what's right, even if you have to stand alone. And do what's right. And why you have to, you know, don't give in to that compromising thing. Find one reason why you can and will do what's right. Well, what is it? Find a reason and do it, right? By the Spirit of God in you. Instead of looking for a reason to compromise, looking for a reason not to compromise. Looking for more of Jesus, not for more of the devil. You know, a lot of people looking for more of the devil. When they compromise, they're looking for more of the devil. When they do the evil, they're looking for more of the devil because that's what they're getting. right? Whether they know it or not, whether they even think about whether they're doing that or not, but that's what they're doing. They're looking for more of a devil, and they're getting more of a devil. You can walk out of the bad with the power of Jesus, though. Just do it. That's right. Get the devils out that you picked up, too, along last way. Also, all those inherited fear, too, while you're at it. Why continue to entertain these things? By the way, who does God listen to? You know, who does God listen to? The answer to this question is easy. What person does God hear? Any righteous person. Well, who is the righteous? Well, you know, a great preacher, maybe. Pastor Kyle, maybe he's a, you know, maybe you know, the Apostle Paul, or maybe it was Rod Parsley or Old Robert or somebody. You know, maybe they were, you know, a righteous person. No. Wait a minute. That's not what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say about, you know? Well, let's read a scripture. James 5:16. James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, what do we see here? Well, two things we need to find out tonight. Who is righteous and what is an effectual fervent prayer? Okay? Because that's important that we know that. See, we, as the righteous, can stop compromise. Look at verse 17 and 18 here. For Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years or 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And notice what it is here. Was he a great prophet? Is that what he said about him? Didn't say it. Wait a minute, though. It doesn't even say that about Elijah here, Elijah, does it? It doesn't say Elijah was a great prophet who prayed. You know, he said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had the same temptations, the same faults, the same failures, the same made mistakes just like we do. And yet what happened? His prayers worked. And if his prayer worked, yours can too, right? The effectual fervent prayer of a prophet? No, that's not what it said. The effectual fervent prayer of Prophet Elijah? No. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Who can be righteous? Well, you can be righteous if you're born again. Well, how did I get that way? Well, God makes you righteous. You can't make yourself righteous. It has to happen when you're born again. See? You're born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right then, at that moment. That very moment you get born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you think about yourself. This is what God thinks of you. This is how he sees you, and this is how you need to start seeing yourself, regardless of your like passions like Elijah had, or regardless of your problems that you have going on in your life. Second Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made the righteousness. Who made us that way? Jesus made us that way. And that's why, you know, he was made sin in place of our sin. You know, in other words, he bore that sin for us. You know, who knew no sin. He didn't have any sin. He couldn't sin. He was God. He did sin. Okay? So what is righteousness? Is our righteousness is our right standing or our right place with God in God's eyes? Not necessarily everybody else. Everybody else may not see you righteous. Everybody else might not look at you the way God looks at you. In fact, some of them might look at you as a horrible person. But, hey, what God says, you need to know. You should know what God sees you like. And you need to act like what God sees you at. And you need to talk like what God sees you like. And many who pray a lot and try to be real good often don't get their prayers answered like the ones who simply prayed based on his position or his righteousness, right standing with God. See? Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name not based on what I've done, but what you've done for me and where you've placed me in Christ Jesus. See, that's how I could pray. Not on the basis of my work, not on the basis of what I could do, not on the basis of how good I've been or how bad I've been. No, on the basis of Jesus, what he did. Amen. And what he made me. 1 Peter 3:12. Let's go read. 1 Peter 3:12. Hallelujah. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In other words, his eyes are not on them. His face is against them. His ears are not open to their prayers. It's against them. He's not listening to them. That God listens to the prayers of the righteous. Righteousness is not based on how good or how bad you are, but it's on our place or position or standing in Christ Jesus right now, even though we may still have a lot of demons we still need deliverance from. Oh, yeah. You might still have a few. You might have a bunch. But it's not based on how many demons are in your soul. It's based on the righteousness that you have. Your spirit is born again in Christ Jesus. No demons are in your spirit. See, Jesus has become our righteousness. Therefore, we are righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to settle it in our minds and our hearts and our spirits that we are righteous before we can really pray successfully. Because if you don't believe you're righteous, then you're probably going to pray with a doubt. With a doubting mind, with a feeling that why would God do this for me? You know, look at the way I've lived, look at what I've done, and see, you're trying to go on your own merit when you do that. Oh, you wouldn't want to hear me. Look how bad I've been this week. Hey, you're going on your own merit. God doesn't do it on our merit. He does it on what He's done. He's doing on what He's done, not doing on what we've done. What is the effectual fervent prayer? Energeo, zeo. It is a supplication consistent with inward conformity to the mind of Christ, not to the world, to work in its in working into us. See, it's in working into us, and we pray. See, the righteous man or woman is energized or has the prayer worked into them by the Spirit of God, and they pray from God's strength, not our own strength. See, hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember Jesus in the garden, He came to the end of His strength and said, not my will, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours, Lord. And then God did, gave Him the strength to go through this, what He did, and gave His life for us. See, God's the Father. And when we know what God wants, He infuses us with His strength to pray according to His plan. This is needed to avoid weaknesses and compromise, right? Haven't you ever noticed sometimes when you pray, it's like God is empowering you to pray, and you are then praying in line with the mind of God? Other times we pray in line with our minds, and it takes a lot of effort. In fact, many can't even pray 5 minutes when they're doing it that way. Right? It's like you start going to sleep. You start just laying out and, it's hard to pray, man. I tell you, I just don't feel like praying today. Because, you're just doing it on your own strength. You're doing it on your own. Hey, we need to draw from the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. How's that possible? This doesn't mean every breath is prayer. We don't pray all the time. Never give up in prayer, though, or be unceasing in prayer is a proper interpretation of this verse. And it is sandwiched between what? Verse 16 and verse 18. What does 16 say? Rejoice evermore. And then 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wait, are you rejoicing evermore? Huh? In everything giving thanks? Are you giving thanks? In every situation that you're in, are you still giving thanks to God? So as we pray, we need to rejoice and give thanks to continue to pray effectively. How can that happen? I'm going to tell you how it can happen. It's only going to happen through grace and truth. Okay? That's the only way it's going to happen. I mean, really. So why are you here listening today? Why and how is this ministry here today? I mean, why are we even a Christian today? Someone once said, why me, God? You know, probably a lot of us have said that. Why would you choose me out of so many millions and pour out your love and blessings and grace on me? Why? I mean, you may think you're a self-made person, but I'm here to tell you that if you're a real born-again Christian today, you're a grace-made person. Amen? Grace makes us. Grace and truth. Right? That's how we're made. We're made into the image of God by grace and truth. We're not made by our works. We're not righteous by our works, so how can we be made by our works? That's just some Christians, they get saved by grace and then they go into works mode. And it doesn't work. And they wonder why it doesn't work. Well, it's not ever going to work that way because you're doing it. Excuse me. Ephesians 2:8. unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Notice that. I'm the least of all, yet this grace is given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. I mean, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Church, we are telling them devils and principalities and powers some things. Okay, when we walk this way in grace and truth, we're letting them know the wisdom of God. And they're seeing, wow, you know, maybe I shouldn't have, you know. Even though there's no conviction in their life anymore because they are devoid of the Holy Spirit, devoid of God, still, it's showing them the wisdom of God. Notice, is it, whose workmanship are we? Whose workmanship are we? What does it say in Ephesians 2? Look over there, 2:8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Whose workmanship? Yours? Whose creation? Your own? Huh? I don't think so. No. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were far off. We used to be sometimes. Used to be. We were far off, but we're now made. We're brought in by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're brought into the glory. We're brought into his presence. We're brought into the power. We're brought into the anointing. The blood of Jesus Christ. You were made close by whom? You? No. Who did it all? You? No. Jesus did it. Grace did it. Everyone who thinks they have done it all themselves is going to eventually come to the place where they see what they have built is as nothing. That's right. This is the place where we can choose God, choose Jesus, or we can go deeper into deception when you come to that place. You either take Jesus or you reject him. You either take the, you know, that he did it all. And if one chooses his own deception, that he could make it on his own, pull it off on himself, pull it all up out of himself, God's going to give him another chance to accept grace. But each time he rejects grace, he's going to go deeper into deception. If you keep on rejecting grace, there's nothing left but deception, right? And we need to understand that God's grace is made effective when it's accepted by faith. Accepted by faith. And to do this, we're going to have to understand two things. We're going to have to understand that we desperately, daily need his grace. Continually, we need to live in the grace. And number two, we cannot really help ourselves on our own. We need one greater than us. Those are important things. We need his grace all the time. We need to live in grace all the time. And we can't make ourselves anything. We need someone greater than us. And after accepting grace, and we realize that our forgiveness is undeserved. It could not have been earned anyway. In any way that you could ever think of, it could not be earned, right? But see, grace goes on beyond just forgiveness and of our guilt and our sin consciousness. It goes on beyond that. Grace is the vessel by which he gives us all the other gifts and presents that we don't deserve and we can't pay for, but we receive it now because we're sons and daughters of the living God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything he has is ours, so he's given it to us. Grace goes beyond just forgiveness. Everything God gives us, every blessing, every good and perfect gift is grace. The whole flow of God's life into us, that's grace. His energy, his joy, his deliverance, his peace, his power, his healing, his laughter, his help in a time of need. And the way he hears your prayers is nothing but the river of God's grace. The river. You want to live in that river of grace? I want to stay in the river of God's grace all the time. I mean, what should our responses be to grace today? What should your response be to grace? Well, I'll tell you. Number one, allow yourself to receive it and give God the glory. That's right. Allow yourself to receive it. Receive the truth, the reality of what you are, the reality of what a grace is to you. John 15:15, number 2. John 15, verse 5, I mean. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you could do nothing. There it is. I mean, this, you got to know that. This is our response to grace. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. And number three, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Give praise and thanksgiving. Give him all the glory for all of it, because he is all of it. By responding in these ways, then we are sure that we shall continue to receive a further supply, actually an unending supply. It's God unlimited, right? An unlimited supply of grace. God has it, okay? All of his gifts of grace come without strings attached. You need to know that. You need to know that. There's no string attached. We often say to the children or to spouses, well, I'll do this in return for you doing such and such. Not God. He simply, because he loves. He gives because he loves. Not for some kind of deal. I'm going to try to get a deal with you. If you'll do this, I'll do that. You know, people try to make deals with God, and sometimes God will give them what they ask for, but it's not because they have to earn it. You know, I know people, oh, God, if you just save me in the battle here, this foxhole, you know, I'll just serve you the rest of my life. Well, God saves them. It's to give them an opportunity to come to him and give their life over to him. Yeah, and receive the grace of God. Yeah, people try to make deals with God. I know people try to make deals with the devil. They think they're going to sell their soul to the devil, and the devil's going to give them something good. Well, no, the devil doesn't have anything good to give. You make a deal, you try to come to the devil, make some deal, you think you're going to get the good end of anything? He doesn't have any good. There's none good in him, right, other than the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he operates under that system, but it's a false good. It's not God. Okay, because it's a wrong tree. But anyway, his gifts do not bind us or place us under an obligation to show him good behavior. We think, well, we gotta be good now. God gave me a gift. Or you think somebody gives you a gift, you know, oh, I gotta please them. This person gave me a gift for my birthday. I gotta be kind to them and, you know, show appreciation to do that. And, you know, I need to do something good for them, give them a gift or something. Well, God's not requiring that, okay? And one sure way to hinder his grace is to begin to think that we're getting God's gift by our own good behavior because we're being good to God or by some past act of goodness toward God. No, no. Grace is received through faith, another gift of God. Did every man dealt a measure of faith? Faith coming by hearing, hear by the word of God. So, hey, that's a gift of God. That's a gift of God, too. So everything we receive is through the gift of God, from the gift of God. So go to Hebrews 4. See, deliverance is one of the gifts of grace, folks, and we need to recognize that. It's not something you earn. It's something you receive. I receive deliverance. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4, verse 2. Are you there yet? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there's no profit if there's no faith. There's no blessing if there's no faith. If you're listening to the word all week long, what good does it do you if it's not mixed with faith? Not a whole lot. Yeah, grace has to be received by faith. The grace of God was preached. Verse 3, look, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn unto them, sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation, of the world. For ye have believed, you do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke at a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his work. Okay? So what is this rest? You know, we're thinking, well, it's a day. No, it's not a day. It's a perpetual place of rest. See, because it says there remaineth in verse 9 a rest for the people of God. For if Jesus had given them rest under the old covenant, they would not afterward have spoken of another day. But see, he hadn't given them rest there. It was only the type of the rest, of the perpetual rest in God. And so it said, verse 9, there remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also sees from his own works as God did from his. So let us labor therefore to enter in, or let us press therefore in to labor into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So what's going on here? What is that rest? Well, it's a perpetual Sabbath rest in the grace of God. See, the grace of God is our resting place. To abide in that Sabbath grace rest is to abide in his rest, okay? You cease from your own works and your own way of natural thinking and enter into God's completeness, and you rest there. It's a place of rest that others don't have, okay? We have something other people don't have unless they enter into that rest too. They can have it. You cease from your own work like God did. What did God do? He ceased from his work. He rested. And he'd been resting ever since then. Okay? And see, God's grace is so unnatural, or so supernatural, we could say, right? To the natural man, to the natural woman, that our natural understanding can't live comfortably with it. It makes you uncomfortable. That's why we have so many religious people today, because they can't really enter in comfortably into something that they don't have to do something to earn it, or try harder to get it, or kiss God, and try to earn it from God somehow, because they can't live comfortably with that. To really enter in, they're prone to work, see? They're prone to religion. They're prone to earning their way. To really enter into this wonderful grace, we're going to have to disentangle ourselves from our old nature, which we die to it, enthusiastically embraces performance, the old nature does. So, yeah, but grace is not what demons have many Christians involved in and living in today, and they think they're so right with God. Hey, that is a performance-based relationship with God. Again, grace is not performance, but acceptance by faith. Grace includes deliverance from demons. All kinds of demons can be removed through the gift of grace, which includes the authority over demons, which we've been given the authority. Remember, we've been given, all things which pertain to life and godliness. Is deliverance pertaining to life here in this world? Yeah, we need deliverance to get through and not compromise and not fall into the enemy's traps and live under the curse all the time. Okay? We need deliverance. That's part of all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us. So we can't live a godly life with a bunch of demons living out their life through us, right? So, all means all, right? All things that pertain to life and godliness, and deliverance is part of that all. So many try to live godly, but, they try and try to live godly, but they cannot do it because first they're trying. That's the first thing, first place, they're trying. And we can't accomplish much by the works of trying, the works of the flesh. Trying is a work. Secondly, because there are demons in the way to keep a person from living a godly life. They keep a person from living in grace and enjoying the rest of God. And thirdly, because people lack the understanding that we don't live for God, we live from God, right? And thus from a place of grace, we're living from God. We're not living for God. If we're living for God, we're doing it. We can't do it. No, we can't do it. If we could do it, we wouldn't need a Savior, would we? If we could fix ourselves, we could straighten everything out, we could make our lives right, we could do all that. Oh, yeah, we wouldn't need Jesus, right? We could do it all. We just got ourselves, We do all that stuff. No, we don't live for God. We're living from God. I'm not living for him. I'm living from his life, from his grace, from his strength, from his truth, from his power, from his deliverance. Moses brought the law, right? The law came by Moses. It says John chapter 1, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, it says that. Grace and truth came through Jesus. The law came through Moses. Jesus is truth, and he has given truth, that is himself, right, and grace through the offering of himself. And both are necessary to be delivered from devils. Grace and truth is necessary. If you don't know the truth, right, you're not going to be set free. If you know the truth, apply the truth, it shall set you free, see? That's what's going to do it, grace and truth. Grace and truth, because you can't know the truth without grace. right? Can't know the truth without grace. Both are necessary to be delivered from devils. Both are necessary to walk in victory over the power of darkness, over this world. See? Grace to cast them out, because under the Old Testament, we didn't see the real grace of God. We saw types of the grace because it was a picture of what was to come. But we saw works mainly, and it was all outward. They had to perform. They had to do this, do that, do this, and go through all these so-called feast and the sacraments, what we call them sacraments, how they had to sacrifice this and do that, or they would just have no cleansing from their sin, right? And so there was no really spoken of deliverance ministry under the Old Testament in Scripture till grace came, till Jesus came. And man, he did a bunch of deliverance. He started right away casting out devils, and the fame of him spread because of the devil casting out. And see, God's spiritual of grace is calling to us to leave behind the cisterns full of stagnant water, which represents our own effort to justify ourselves and to fulfill ourselves. It's not going to happen that way. We got to leave it behind, okay? We don't have to use these performance-based methods any longer, if you hear what I'm saying. It's over. No more performance-based Christianity. No more. It's grace. We're living from that grace and from that truth, the reality of those things. You know, the Holy Spirit is opening our eyes to a new way of living, right? The rest of God, his grace, the place of allowing ourselves to be given things continually without striving for them. We don't have to strive. We don't have to earn anything. It is God's good pleasure to give it all to us. He said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. And everything of grace is in the kingdom of God because Jesus bought that for us on the cross. And we need to give up that proud, independent from God mentality. Okay, that proud, independent from God mentality that says we have to perform or do it ourselves. Can it be true that we simply have to receive something without deserving it or having to pay for it with good behavior and works? Absolutely it is true, right? It's a gift of God, the gift of grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, and our response to grace is praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And this is not a payment for grace, but simply the appreciation response, the appropriate response of somebody who is rejoicing because he has received so much. Listen, folks, we've received so much. If you're not walking in that so much, you are missing out. You can have it because it's all yours. You just got to start receiving it. It's all yours. The Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's done it for those who will take it. If you don't take it, you're going to miss out on it, okay? If you don't receive it, you're going to do without. You're going to miss out on all that God wants to give. Oh, you might take just a little trickle. I'll just take a little trickle. Lord, I'm so unworthy. No, he made me worthy. You are worthy. He made us worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, don't go around saying I'm so unworthy all the time. That is a slap in God's face because he said, well, you don't believe what I did for you? You don't believe the price I paid for you to be worthy? Oh, come on, folks. Now, Psalms 5:12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as with a shield. We're surrounded with grace, Father. Father, do that for us. I mean, here we see his grace is like a universal shield which covers us and protects us from the devil's plan for us if we'll believe that. And we have the authority to use that grace and command in Jesus' name the devil, because the spirits are subject to us, right? We have the authority to do that and take authority over that. And if we're doing it out of the grace of God in faith, then the devil is afraid of you. Major, big time. So grace is also a protection to keep us from being dominated by fear, which is Satan, one of his main tools of the day that we live in today. Okay? I mean, you don't believe that. Look at the people dying from fear today. Fear get the best of them. Hearts failing them from fear. The Bible says more and more that's going to happen. If you don't believe it, look at the newspaper. Turn on the news. Murder, death, COVID, cancer, heart problems. A divorce, war, gangs, famine, economic problem, crazy government. On every level we see this. People are tormented. It appears the whole world is out of control and headed for disaster. And yet he said, right in the midst of all this, enter into my rest and don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I'll surround you with my shield of grace. Huh? Are you going to let that happen, or are you going to just keep on getting caught up in the culture of darkness and death and let that minister out of what it is to you, death and darkness? You going to keep that fear thing going in your life when God said he didn't give you a spirit of fear? Well, who did then? Devil did. Devil did. God didn't give it to you. Then where'd it come from? Hey, come from a devil. You're giving place to the devil when you give in to fear all the time, when you're living in that kind of fear. Come on. What are you doing? You're giving the devil place. You're supposed to be giving Jesus place. You're supposed to be giving faith to the sound mind, power, and love, see? Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 5:12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. And what is the true grace of God that you could do with? Wherein you stand. This is the true grace of God, wherein you stand. Wherein you stand. See, I'm standing because of the grace of God, not because of my own ability. I'm standing because of the grace of God, the true grace of God. I'm walking in the true grace of God. That's what causes me to stand. That's what causes me to be victorious. That's what causes me to head and not the tail, to be the head and not the tail. The world all around us may fall, but you can stand firm in the true grace of God. And you can't stand, though, if you're bound up by feelings of fear, inferiority, a lack of assurance, a negative image of who you really are. You don't really want to accept what Jesus said because you look at yourself with a low value and you feel that you have no worth or value because, after all, look what I've done. Look what kind of family I came from. Look what kind of life I've lived. Hey, your feelings of rejection, hurt, and other people's low opinion of you make you feel inferior and that, you know, you have little value or importance. Who are you going to listen to? Other people's opinion, the devil's opinion, or Jesus? See, if you let these control you, you might get out of grace trying to achieve what only God can give you. You can't achieve it on your own. Remember that, trying to accomplish great things or to be somebody or to be worth something on your own ability, it's a dead-end street, folks. That's a dead-end street, man. See, every attempt at making ourselves important or molding our lives outside the grace and rest of God leads us right into sin, independence, and rebellion, and takes us away from God. It takes us into the devil's territory. The devil's territory, there's no good thing there. Also, when we resort to our own effort, what are we doing? We're giving into the torture of striving and stress and worry and fear and strain, which robs us of energy and health and the rest of God. Amen? Hey, the Lord give me a word. Prepare this message, and here I want to share it with you. This is what he said. I want to make you know your importance. I want to make you know your importance and lift up your head. Some of you are walking around with a hung down head, is what he's saying here. And he said, I want to make you lift up your head. I want to crown you with grace and mercy. You do not have to do this for yourself. That would be another expression of independence from me. He said, I will do this for you. Trust me, he said. My grace will lift you up. I take no pleasure from seeing you bound, bowed down, and in misery. I want to honor you, for you are my own children. But I will only honor you through grace, not through your own achievements. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? That's the word the Lord gave me as I was preparing this, okay? And that's a lot said there, okay? That's a lot said. And so grace is the thing that we must have if we're going to grow spiritually, emotionally, and in relationship to the Lord Jesus. See, our relationship with Father and with other people, we're going to have to enter into his grace, his rest, if we're going to have a victorious, relaxed, and peaceful life of joy and emotional health and well-being, see? And we're going to get deliverance through grace, right? So God, we partake of your grace today. Amen? Just say, God, I partake of your grace today. Amen? Thank you for this gift in Jesus' name. Shower us with the undeserved and unearned gift of grace because you love me. Just say that to him. Shower me. Shower me with this undeserved and unearned gift, these unearned gifts of grace because you love me. Because he loves you. It's yours. Hey, it's yours because you believed on him. Because the Holy Spirit drew you in and you confessed Jesus Christ. You repented for your sins. You came into the family of God. You're joined there with Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus has is yours now. Everything. He's given us the children's bread. That's deliverance from demons, from evil spirits. He's given us the ability to engage the enemy and prevail against the powers of darkness. Not have the powers of darkness prevail over you all the time, which is what's happening to most Christians. The powers of darkness are prevailing over them most of their lives. Powers of darkness prevailing. Powers of darkness whooping them, beating them down. And they don't know how to fight, or they won't fight. What's going on there? Why should we let our lives be that way? Why should we choose that? Why not choose to live in grace and truth? Isn't it time? Isn't it time, saints, that you make that decision? Lord, I'm going to live in your grace. I'm going to live from your grace, from you, from your anointing, from your power, from your goodness, from your mercy, from your compassion. Lord, I'm just going to give it all of me, into that grace and live from it day by day. I'm living from you, Jesus. Every day, every moment of every day, everything is you, Jesus. Everything. Jesus, you're mine, I'm yours. And you're responsible to take care of me now because, you know, you paid the price for me. I belong to you now. Hallelujah. So I'm living from you, your power, your Holy Spirit, your ability, not my ability. Your ability has become my ability. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see that? You got to speak in alignment with these truths. You can't speak in alignment with the devil's lies. Well, you can if you want to, but why would you? You got to speak in alignment with the Word of God, the truth. And then you're going to see the Word of God come to pass in your life. You quit speaking that negative stuff. Quit speaking that you're not going to be delivered from the demon. The demon's so strong. Quit speaking that. Oh, nothing that happened. Oh, I'm not going to be delivered. It's just so deeply embedded in me. You know, it must be. It's just something wrong with me. You know, all that negative talk. Really, where's your faith? Didn't God give you faith? Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You listening? You listening to the Word? Come on, saint. This is a word to you. What you going to do with grace and truth? What you going to do? Are you still going to keep compromising? Are you going to live in grace and truth and walk a higher life, go up higher? It's time to go up higher. Time to come up higher. Time to go all the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this word today. Thank you for prevailing in our lives over everything else, over everyone else. Thank you for having your way in our life, Father. Thank you that we live from you, not for you. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to try living for you. I used to try that, but not. Kept trying harder and harder. It didn't work. I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't living in the peace that I have that passes understanding. Thank you, Lord. There's so much more than just living for God. They're stepping over to the deeper level, coming out into the deep, Lord. I thank you for continuing to take us deeper into the deep, Lord, with you. Hallelujah. 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 We know you, Lord. Because you're revealing yourself to us more and more and more. Day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, we could see Jesus. We could see you. We could see more of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we just ask you to bless the time of deliverance. We thank you for the power of deliverance, Lord. We thank you for the grace of deliverance. I ask you to bless our time as we do ministry now in deliverance. By the power of your Spirit. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. We'll be back. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to do some deliverance tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. You're good. You're good. We were in a conference this week. It went for ministers Monday through Wednesday so that people could get back and stuff. But it was a good conference. And there was the presence of the Lord there. We entered into deep worship. And singing in the spirit and just sensing the powerful presence of the Lord, and it was good. I mean, you could just sense the presence and the power, the glory of Jesus as we just entered into deep worship. And I don't know if everybody else entered into that deep level of worship, but I sure did, and I felt the presence. And stood there in that, and it's like not of this world, right? Anyway, some interesting things were said, and a little bit, some of it different than the way I would have put it, but praise God, there was some good truth revealed, and some, you know, good, and some not so great, but it was good. It was God, so praise the Lord for that. Anyway, let's do some deliverance. The spirit of defilement. We break the curse of defilement. You've been defiled somehow. however that has been in your life. We command that spirit of defilement to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of there. All that defilement, go in the name of Jesus right now. All that defilement, come out. Come out, you spirit of defilement, feeling defiled, feeling that not so good about yourself, feeling that you have defilement in your life that has kept you in bondage for so many years. We command that defilement to go, 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 come out, 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 all that defilement, come out, come out of there, all the way out. Spirit of defilement, go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, all the way out, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus, you have to go up and out of there, up and out of there, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. Oh, that defilement, feeling defiled, feeling dirty, feeling messed up, come out. Those spirits, you go right now, go, 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 go. All the way up out of there, go. In Jesus' name, come out of there. Go, come out of there. Come on, feeling self-pity, Lord. We rebuke the spirit of self-pity. Feeling poor me, look at all I had to go through. Look at, nobody knows all the trouble I've gone through, all the trouble I've seen. All, yeah, you come out of there, self-pity right now. I bind that self-pity. Like nobody else has to understand how bad you've gone through, how difficult it's been. You come out of there, all that self-pity. Go, 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 come out, 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 all the way out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all that self-pity, go. We rebuke the spirit of self-pity. Poor me, spirit, come out, come out. Yeah, the devil will tell you that. Poor you, you got it so bad. Nobody understands you. Nobody cares about you. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. The blood of Jesus. Come out. Come out. We break that spirit of self-pity over you, the control of it. We break that spirit of control over you. Got to be in control all the time. You got to be in control. And that fear of losing control, too. You come out. Spirit of control. Spirit of fear of losing control, too. Come out. Come out. Both of you. Come out. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. 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 The blood of Jesus. Go all the way out. Come out. That control, that fear of losing control. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of there. Go all the way out. If you've been a Catholic, we break the curse of the Catholicism. Come out. We break the curse of Catholic Church over you, the curse of the universal so-called religion that they call themselves. Catholic means universal. We break that curse. We break the curse of Catholicism. No. No, there's a universal Church of Jesus, but it's not Catholic. Okay? It's the people who are part of the true Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we break that. And Jesus, somebody says that, you know, under the Vatican, there's a direct door to Satan, to Lucifer, that they could just go in and talk to Satan anytime the Pope can and other leaders of the Catholic Church, right? I don't know if that's true, but that's what somebody said. Anyway, break curses and bondages to priests. We break the bondage to soul ties to priests in Jesus' name, to nuns. Come out. Break the curse of wanting to be a nun or a priest to the Catholic Church. Come out. Come out. Come out. Bondages to priests and nuns. Come out. 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 We break the curse of the baptism into the Catholic Church. Come out. We break the confirmation in the Catholic Church. Come out. 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 Come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out of there, in Jesus' name, all the way out. Break the power of any religious spirit over you. Come out, whether it came in through Catholicism or Baptist or Lutheran or whatever, you come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, come out, come out, all those religious spirits, come out. Any religious spirit power over you, we break it right now. Being under religion instead of grace, come out, 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 all the way out. Go, 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 all the way out. Keep coming out. Come out. Break the luck of the Irish curse. We break that. You come out of there right now. Somebody said that because you're Irish, you have the luck of the Irish. We break that curse right now. Your luck is a bad thing, has to do with the devil, not with Jesus. Come out of there. We break the curse of the luck of the Irish. Come out. 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 Luck of the Irish, go all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Go all the way out. The luck of the Irish, the curse of the Irish, come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus, go right now. All the way out. All the way out. Unforgiveness, you come out. Unforgiveness toward your dad or your stepdad, you come out. Somebody needs to really forgive your dad or your stepdad. Come out. Come out of there right now. All that unforgiveness toward dad, come out. Come out right now. You got to go. I bind you. I bind that unforgiving spirit that's in there because of how you were treated or something that happened. Come out. All that unforgiveness toward your dad or your stepdad, come out. Come out, 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 come out. There, maybe it was their expectation they put on you, and you could tell you could never live up to their expectation, and you held something against them. You may not even be aware that you held something against them. Come out, all the way out. Come on, all that unforgiveness, come out. All that, they offended you, come out. All the way out, go, 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 come out, come out, come out. Come on, all the way out, come out. I bind you in Jesus' name, unforgiveness toward dad, stepdad, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out. The blood of Jesus, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. All the way out, go in Jesus' name. All the way out of there, that unforgiving spirit, go. All that unforgiveness toward dad, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. Oversensitivity, you're just so sensitive to everything people say and do. Their words, it just gets through you. Come out, all that oversensitivity spirit that makes you just really ponder everything that people say. You're so just examining it and seeing how it applies to you and all that, that oversensitivity spirit. Come out. Come out. I bind you. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out of there. All the way out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on. All the way. The blood of Jesus. Come out. 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 The blood of Jesus. You have to go. All the way out. All the way out. All that oversensitivity, come out. I bind you. Bind you in Jesus' name. All the way. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. The spirit of being offended, you come out. Being offended. Somebody offended you. Somebody said something offended you. Did something offended you. That spirit of offense, come out. Spirit of offense, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. All the way out. That spirit of divorce, you come out. Spirit of divorce. You ever had a divorce? We break the curse of divorce and command the spirit of divorce to come out right now. The spirit of divorce, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus against that divorce spirit, come out, come out. Come out, blood of Jesus, come out, 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 and all the way out. The blood of Jesus, angels chase, persecute, and sword these demons right now. Break the curse of insanity over you. Come out, generational curse of insanity. Feel like you're going crazy. You know, all the way out, go. All that insanity, we break the curse of insanity. Come out. We break the power over your mind. Come out. All the way out, come 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 out, all the way out, go, go, come out, come out, come out, spirit of idolatry, come out, spirit of idolatry, come out, in Jesus' name, go, 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 all that idolatry, come out, in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, bind you, come out. Come out, that spirit of of misery, being miserable all the time. Some people are miserable. You're not happy. You're miserable. We break the curse of misery, command that spirit of misery, misery, not Missouri, misery to come out. Come on, all the way out. We break the power of torment. We break the power of that torment of misery over you. Come out, all that misery. And all that misery, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Up and out. All that spirit of misery, come out in the name of Jesus. All that misery, loose them and let them go. All the way out. We break the compromise that we talked about too. The spirit of compromise. We command that spirit of compromise to go. Right now, all compromise, whatever kind of compromise that you might have been involved in, and probably everyone, including myself, has compromised in some manner over the years. And so we rebuke the spirit of compromise at whatever level of compromise it was. We command the spirit of compromise to come out. Let it go. Cough a couple times. Get them moving. All that compromise, come out. In the name of Jesus right now, loose them and let them go. Spirit of compromise. Come all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, up and out, up and out, up and out. All that compromise. Go, go, go. Move, 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 move. Keep moving out. Spirit of compromise. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus against that spirit of compromise. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way. Go. 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 Up and out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Keep moving out of there. Go. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. We break those spirits of fear of what people think. Come out, come out. Fear of what people think. Come out. All the way out. Go, go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Fear of what people are going to think about you. Come out. All the way out. Fear what they're thinking. Come out. The blood of Jesus. Don't be intimidated. Spirit of intimidation. Go. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Come out. Come out of there. Break those curses of intimidation. Break those curses of temper tantrums. Throwing a temper fit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I remember years ago, I was an apartment maintenance man. And I took care of, I think it was 200 apartments or more. And I would go into all these apartments. I'd see people, results of people hitting the wall with their fist, you know, getting angry and kicking the wall, hitting the walls. You know, people that do that, you know, there's something wrong there. They're tormented by these spirits of temper, you know, and make them hit the wall so hard it could break their hands. I mean, really, that tells you there's a demon in manifestation there. If you've ever done things like that, hit something, threw something, I know marriages where they're always throwing something at each other. One of the mates is more than one of the others. I mean, throwing stuff at the mate. And, you know, what a kind of home is that where you're throwing stuff at each other, where you're yelling all the time and screaming, you know, screaming at the children, the temper, so angry. We bind that anger. We bind that temper in Jesus' name. You come out of there all the way out, all the way out. And I know I've gone into other apartments where they had altars to Satan, where they were bowing before the devil and different altars. And you could go into these apartments. You know, I had the master key to get into every apartment and fix things and do things in there, fix whatever they had broken and even inspect them and see what's going on, whatever, you know. But I could go into these apartments and I would see Satan worshipers in the apartment. I would see the wickedness of mankind and womankind. Very much wicked. You go tell a lot through going in somebody's home. You know what I mean? Yeah, where people live, you could tell a lot about them. You keep coming out of there. All that anger, come on. All that temper, all that rage in there, come out. I bind you. Come out of there. Up it out. Up it out. Up it out. The blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way. Keep coming out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Go, in the name of Jesus, go all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 all the way, all the way. Keep going up out of there. In Jesus' name, loose them and let them go. The blood of Jesus. Take a few cups. Get rid of it. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Yeah, people who did that, they lose their deposits. I tell you. But anyway, that's another story. Come out. All the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Keep going. All the way out of there. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Keep going. Keep going. Loose them and let them go. Thank you, Jesus. All the way out. All the way out. All that temper, bad temper, explosive temper, yelling, screaming, throwing thing temper, come out. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Some people just have a childish spirit. They act like a child, and they should be an adult by now, but they never, you know, they just in that area. They have arrested development. They haven't allowed themselves to mature. They throw things, throw a pout, throw things around and yell. Come out of there. That childish spirit, come out. Spoiled brat spirit, spoiled child spirit, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Yeah, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus over you folks tonight. We cover each of us with the blood. We thank you, Lord, for sealing this deliverance. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name that we thank you for the time that you've given us here to share your word, Lord, and to teach things and speak things and do some deliverance, too, and have some ministry time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for changed people, Lord, that you work changing us, Lord. We know it's the Spirit of God that changes us from glory to glory. We thank you for giving us great hope, Lord, great hope for the future, Lord, because in you we have a great future. Hallelujah for that. Thank you, Lord, for moving in our lives even now, Lord. Give us dreams and visions, Lord. Even when we lay on the bed at night, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us and show us things to come and show us, Lord, what you would have in our lives to be done by the Spirit of God in us, what you want to do through us, Lord. Give us understanding of things and mysteries as we lay in our bed at night, Lord. Give us mystery, understanding of your mysteries, understanding of your will, and understanding of your timing, Lord. Because we might be doing the right thing, but we're doing it out of timing, and it's failing because we got in our own timing, Lord. So, Lord, show us your timing on things. Show us your future, Lord. Show us what you'd have us to be praying, Lord, and what you'd have us not to be praying, and who you'd have us to pray for, and who you'd have us not to pray for, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, folks, we appreciate you. Thank you all for being here tonight and appreciate each one of you. And may the Lord abundantly do a work in your life, abundantly blessing you, abundantly taking you where he wants you to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love y'all.
God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God.
Praise the Lord, yes. Amen. Yeah, I thank God that the blood of Jesus is very powerful, folks. You need to apply it everywhere. I apply it over my vehicles, over my homes, whatever I am in, you know, at any time, people's houses that I go into, I go in there applying the blood over whatever, you know. And that's very important, you know. We have our armor on too, but the blood of Jesus, man, there's nothing, I agree, there's nothing like the blood of Jesus, folks. Nothing like the blood of Jesus. I wonder if, they're applying this, weather wars again to Florida, because punishing Florida, another hurricane, even though it's not as bad a one, thank God it's not as bad, but I read today 80,000 people without power there. My. Yeah, my opinion is the blood on everything. You're a priest. You handle blood, so you need to handle it wherever you want to put it. Because, we don't desecrate it, but, we handle the blood of Jesus. It's a very precious, precious commodity blessing, his blood come out of. And we had it's a spiritual blood. See, it's a spiritual power, the same spiritual power we receive when we take communion, because we're taking the spiritual blood of Jesus that comes into our life and energizes us, heals us, and we're taking that blood and put it all over the place, and where we can see things change. And, you know, you go into a neighbor's house and put the blood on the pillows, and yeah, I put it on all the houses or places I've ever lived, mobile homes, whatever I lived in over the years, I put the blood on every one of them. And we've started 9 churches in our lifetime, and every place, the blood. So very important. I can't say how important it is, because there's power in the blood, like the song. There's power, wonder-working power. And I don't plead it, because I'm not a beggar. I mean, I have the right to it as a priest. He made me a priest and a king and a joy there with Christ. So I don't have to plead for it. Plead is that, I'm a pleading the blood. I'm pleading, oh, God, please give me that blood. No, I'm not begging for the blood. I don't have to beg, because I'm not a beggar anymore. So, you know, some people say, I'm just a poor beggar showing people where they can find food. You know, that's what they say about the Lord. I don't think that way. God made us his royalty. I mean, you're a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You got to know your identity and walk like you have the identity that he gave you, not insult him by walking around your head all beat down and walking around and I can't do anything, you be anything, and use anything God gave me because I'm so unworthy. Well, no, you're not worthy, but he made you worthy, so you are worthy. So you need to declare, I am worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's just a little bit of what I thought I'd share with you tonight, even though we're off the air. I think that you can probably hear me. Some of you can, some of you can't. But praise God. Appreciate y'all being here. And thank you. God bless you. Thank you for supporting the ministry with your prayers and your giving. Thank you for, you know, prayer is very important. I value prayer. People pray for me, they're praying the right way, you know, binding the devil and doing spiritual warfare and speaking blessings, and, you know, that. And I want those prayers. So, and I will give you my prayers too. I certainly pray for you all that listen to the program. And I could call you by name. I recognize some of you there in there tonight, but I'm not going to do that, but because I don't embarrass anybody, but praise God. Also, Steve said he's going to keep using PayPal. I think that we're going to have to, too, because it's so difficult to get out of it. And he's telling me that it's a very difficult situation to get to something else once you've already set everything up. So if they don't bother us, then for now, I guess we have not much choice on that. We'll keep using PayPal for those who want to give that way. And the Lord bless you for that. We appreciate it. All right. Well, I'm going to have to say goodnight to you. And I pray you have a blessed weekend. The Lord be with you and answer your prayers, too. I pray that the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Amen. All right. Well, love y'all. Good night.
I gotta free this world from Jesus, and he's the hope unto the lost. You've gotta recognize the pressures and know where they're coming from. You've gotta understand the reasons and why it's coming so strong.
And in the path, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.
Kingdom living. How to do it. Kingdom living.
This storm has passed, and at last I have
Amen. Well, good night, folks. I'm really getting off here now. Nice talking with you, brother, and good night to y'all. Let love touch your life tonight. Lay on that bed. Let love touch your life. Jesus is love. God is love. Amen. Amen. Let love touch your life. That was the name of that song. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Yeah, pride is ongoing, brother. Yeah. You know, sometimes it may not get, I mean, pride, you usually got to do deliverance for that more than one time, over and over, until you really get it out. I mean, yeah, you can get a lot out of it at once, but then you need some more touch-ups on that maybe sometime. You know, that's what I've found with people with pride. Because, pride can become in many forms. There can be many demons of pride. But thank God, it's much of it is gone. That's the good news, right? Amen, brother. Awesome to hear that the Lord used me to help you with that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, well, good night, folks. I'm going to get off here now.